It's the eponymous Phil and Woody show. I like that because it's quite, it's different from anything else I've heard.
Hello, one and all. It's Saturday morning. It's Humbug Radio, so it has to be the eponymous Phil and Woody show. I'm the eponymous Woody, and sitting before me in all his glory is the eponymous Phil Cornwall, a man barely alive, but we can rebuild him. Phil, how was your week?
Oh, it was very wide. I enjoyed it, though. I'll never forget me granddad's last words. F*** me, a bus.
Oh, Christ, John. Where have you put the intonation?
Look, I won't. Look, I'm John Hurt.
I'm John Hurt?
Not really, no. I'm really John Hurt.
But I'm John Hurt.
Are you accusing me of getting the intonation wrong?
Where have you put... I've been looking for the intonation and you've put it in all the wrong places.
It's in the larder, love.
Why is your head so big?
Oh, Christ. Christ.
I'm not an elephant, I'm a man.
Very much.
Bugger off to Hoxton. What is it dropped into? You dropped into Tommy Cooper. We're supposed to be doing the two John Hurts.
Well, we were, and then Tommy came in.
You drifted. Phil, I tell you something that annoys me. People with a bloody bucket list. Did you,
do you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
don't start me.
Oh, I've got to do this and I've got to do that.
Bucket list.
There are people who have got something missing in there. They're looking back over their lives and thinking, oh, I didn't do anything with my life. Now when
What's
it's too late,
anyway?
I'm going to... Exactly.
You will end in the same place.
Why put yourself under the... Do you have one? You got a bucket list?
Yes.
Oh. Sorry.
No, I don't. No, I find that it's an interesting one, isn't it? It is. Yeah. A thing. I never heard people talk about bucket lists years ago.
No.
Didn't hear that. This is modern idiom.
Yeah.
Modern idiom gets on your bleeding nerves.
Yeah.
Half it. Harold, get on your... Oh, God, I've got to... Oh, you dirty little git. See, I've gone a bit steptoe there. But the bucket list, my bucket list... would be to try and get... One of my things that I really want to do is get, like, the biggest bucket that I can find. And live in it for a while, and then get people to come and see me, and I can shout up at them, "How you doing? Not too bad. A little bit depressed. Haven't seen anyone for a while. Stick with it. We're all behind you." Oh, wait a minute. I'm talking. Oh God. Woody, is there what sort of doctor can you get me to?
Hello, everyone. You're listening to the eponymous Phil and Woody show here on Humbug Radio. And Phil, I've got to tell you that I have become hooked on BBC4 of an evening. They're rerunning the old 1970s Call My Bluffs. Did you ever used to watch those when you were young?
Oh, that'd be a treat. Yeah. I did a little bit.
They're great. Then do you know what? They've really stood the test of time. They're fascinating. I love it. I love all the... And I remember at the time, I always used to want Frank Muir to win. And I didn't really like Patrick Campbell that much.
Yeah, I could see that, how you would think.
And
that,
he had that terrible stutter, didn't he? Which was, hats off to the BBC for putting him on the telly in those days.
Yeah, that's true.
It's such
Frank
good,
Muir.
It's gentle
it
telly,
Frank,
you know?
That lovely lazy eye.
Yeah. And you used to think he was posh, but actually he wasn't. He was born in a pub in Ramsgate.
That's quite an obscure fact. And you said, you just used that word, it was gentle TV.
Gentle
picking up
TV.
On that, picking up
yeah.
on that. Because it was, wasn't it? You mean not offensive, no sort of age?
I don't mind offensive, but it's just, characters, wasn't it? Lovely, lovely characters and simple. Yeah. But there's two things that really surprised me about it. And one is that, and this is so strange to see it now, the contestants on Call My Bluff, occasionally one of them would smoke. On the it's so weird to see on a panel show
wonderful.
Someone suck on an old tab.
Wow.
You know, that's all
extraordinary.
All smoke hanging around.
Yes.
And the other thing
amazing
is Robert Robinson's hair.
Right.
What the hell was that all about?
Wow.
It was like, it was like a flap.
Robert Robinson. I thought he made Bobby Charlton look like Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, he did. It was.
He had less than
Can
Bobby.
You imagine what it'd been like, him waking up in the morning when it had flopped down and it was so thick with whatever, hair oil? Brill cream. He must have made a disgusting mess on his pill. He would have looked foolish.
Brill cream.
Brill cream.
There's a whole other...
Ooh, Brill cream.
You're putting that in your hair.
The gentleman's friend. I have embarrassed myself like you would not believe, Phil.
Oh, do tell.
Well, right. So where I take the dog for a walk, there's like a, what's called a cyclopark. And their car park, it's got a huge car park. No one ever parks in it. It's been there for years. I've been taking the dog down there for years and years and years. Suddenly they've got one of those car parking companies in.
Yeah.
With the cameras and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And they didn't tell anybody. And I got 3 parking tickets in a row before I... And £180. £180. I went down... So I thought, I'll go down there. And I did... I've got to say, I did play the pensioner card. I went down to the reception and said... You know, I'm very, very sorry, but I've been parking here for years and there's never been anything. And I've got 3 in a row and I don't earn any money nowadays because I'm a pensioner. Will you let me off, please? And the woman down there, she wasn't having any of it. I'm very, very sorry. Sorry, sir, but we don't manage the car park. That's a car parking company. And no matter what I said, but I've been coming here for years. The car park's empty, and I try not to. No, I'm really sorry. You'll have to take it up with the car parking people. And it was making me more and more irate. And I'm embarrassed to say that not only did I stamp my foot, and I had a hissy fit, and I said to her as I left the, and this is in front of mums with their little kids taking them to the cycle park.
Oh yeah,
I said.
Yeah.
This is how World War II started.
Ah. Oh, you actually
this
came
is,
out.
This
that,
I said it. I said, you know, just this sort of. But it's right, though, isn't it? Well, it's not right about World War II, but, you know, why can't they be a little bit more sympathetic and a bit more human? But how embarrassing is that? So if you're listening and you thought you were under the misapprehension that World War II started with the demise of the Weimar Republic and the rise of Adolf Hitler and the National Socialist Party, wrong. It started with a car parking company in Gravesend. I've had an incident at home,
oh,
Phil.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Do tell.
Okay, last
Do
night.
Do tell.
Last night, or yesterday afternoon, to be honest, I looked out the bathroom window. And I thought, that looks like a dead fox lying on my lawn.
Oh,
and I
really?
Went downstairs, sure enough, big, big dead fox lying there, been hit by a car or something. I don't know. What do you do with a dead fox? Because you can't just chuck it in the bin because that's going to stink after 2 weeks when they come and pick it up. What do you do with it? I don't know.
Hang on.
Don't put it in the bin. No,
don't
you can't put it in the bin. I didn't want to chuck it in the road or chuck it next door because I had a slight suspicion that he'd chucked it into my garden in the first place and then he'd know that I'd chucked it back. So that could go
but
on
there
for
is
weeks,
an obvious one, Woody. It's an obvious one,
what,
isn't
is
it, what you could do?
What?
Well, bury it.
Dig no, it you can't.
Why can't you bury it?
No, you'd have to dig it really deep because the other foxes would come and dig it back up again, wouldn't they? No, so what I thought I'd do is there's so much effort I want to put into it.
Okay,
you know,
sorry,
though.
I'm not. It's
so
not funny.
It's not funny.
No,
no,
it's not.
No,
funny.
It was
disrespectful
to this.
No, it is. Yeah.
So I
it
thought
is.
What I'll do is I'll take it out to the countryside and chuck it away. So I slipped it into a. What's funny about that?
Your
I slipped it into a.
Your life is so
I slipped
amusing.
It into a. I didn't want to touch it. That was the other thing. It was. I did
oh,
check
that
it
one
was
again.
I did
oh,
check,
the fox.
I did,
sorry. Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
That's what all the girls say.
No, it's you. You've. I'm making gags like that.
I poked it with a stick and it was stiff. So I. And I'm talking about a. I'm
no.
talking about the fox.
Oh, give
I'll
it.
Put
a
it into,
rest.
I'll put it into. I'll put it into a black bag. And I put it in the car, and which made me a little bit worried that it was going to come alive again and start running around in the car.
Finish it off with a jack.
And I drove it out into the countryside, and I thought, I couldn't find an appropriate place. And then I came over very, very middle class, because one of the worst things you can do when you're middle class is fly tipping. And I thought, oh, what if I put it in the back? I didn't know. So I thought, do you know what? What I'll do, because I live near the River Thames. So I thought, what I'll do is I'll drive back and then chuck it in the water. Give it a Viking funeral.
No, nice one, mate. I like that.
Chuck it into the tent. So I drove back So this is already half an hour driving around with a dead fox.
With a dead fox in your boot? Is it in your boot, mate? No, well, not on the back seat.
I've got a 4x4 in my seat.
A 4x4. It's in the back.
Yeah, it's in the back.
You've got the fox in there, in the back. He's not alive. He's in a bin liner, isn't he?
I parked up outside, round the back of B&Q's, where I know there's a... Open the back of the car. Somebody pulls up beside me.
Yeah.
And I thought, I can't do it. I can't do it when someone's watching. You know what it's like when someone's looking. So I thought, I pretended I was putting something back in again, shut the door, and I thought, I'll drive a bit further up the road. I was up and down. There was everybody was there. The drug dealers. There was every.
Were you at B&Q? Hang on.
No, I've passed B&Q.
Oh, you've done that. Have you come out of B&Q? Where are you going now?
Up by the Red Lion, where it's quiet, where it's also full of drug dealers, isn't it? So I thought, I'm not doing it in front of drug dealers. I'm not doing it in front of anybody.
None of their business, mate.
I was up and down. So now an hour had passed or so, maybe even more. Let's say 2 hours had passed, driving up and down. I was starting to get into a sweat about it. And then eventually it started to rain, so all the people cleared away, and I found a little area where I thought, right, okay, there's a seawall there, stop flooding. So I got behind that and I thought, I'll lob it out. So I picked it up carefully in its black plastic bag.
Oh, yeah, in the bag, yeah.
I thought, I'll do 1, 2, 3, and it shot out of the bag. And went skidding down. Oh.
What?
Yeah.
Skidding?
Skidding down.
Down the bank?
Down the bank. No, well, not skidding down the bank. It was skidding down the path. So then I went and picked it up again. This time I thought, I'll throw it without the black plastic bag, because I don't want to put a black plastic bag in the water.
No, of course.
So I picked it out with the black plastic bag. I'll give it another go. The tide was up. So I went 1, 2, 3, and off it shot over the wall. No splash. So yeah. I found a little bit where you could stand up on. This is a true story. Absolutely true. Stood up on the thing, climbed up onto the wall. I chucked it onto someone's houseboat at night.
Onto the deck.
Onto the deck. Onto the roof. Clunk.
On the roof of someone's houseboat.
Yep. They must have got up in the morning and thought, what the...
How did you feel when you saw that? What was your reaction in yourself of like, oh, what did you scarper?
Run.
That was the end of it for
you.
Well,
I'm not going to go and climb down and get it out.
Because you'd already had enough kind of to-ing and fro-ing and where am I going to throw it?
It's someone else's problem now.
It certainly is.
Radio is a powerful selling medium, a playground for the imagination where every jingle and slogan can find its way into the hearts and minds of its listeners. And advertising on Humbug Radio is a lot more cost-effective than you might think. We can help your business to shine bright without dimming your budget. To learn more, email us, studio@humbugradio.com.
Humbug Radio. Anyone from Biggles weighed in today?
Timing. Yes,
all about that, would he?
Hey.
Right, the early steam engines, that's something that really concerns me. Mm. What they look like. They were rubbish. Did you see them early ones? Stevenson's rocket. Everyone went mad about it. Oh, look, he's invented a steam engine.
Looks like a barbecue.
It's ridiculous. Have you seen it?
It looks like
bleeding
a barbecue.
Ridiculous.
Barbecue.
Rivets everywhere. Oh. How fast did it go? About 5 miles an hour. Great train. Well done. Mind you, I suppose it was a long time ago, before trains, really. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email studio@humbugradio.com. studio@humbugradio.com. Oh, Woody. Oh, I'm worn out, mate.
Ooh.
Oh,
what's the matter
mate?
With you?
Oh,
what is that? Look at your
just
state
getting
of you.
Oh, cerebral edema, man, I think.
Oh, it doesn't.
No, it is. No, because I've just come back from an Everest expedition. Oh, crikey. Literally just come back in.
Oh.
In the door. I've come in the door.
I thought that was dandruff.
No.
Snow.
No, Dan was, he's coming back down the southeast ridge. He slipped because that's always the time when you're going to, you know.
Oh, no.
Worst time. But he's all right. They helicoptered him off the south coal.
Yes.
The south coal. And it was freezing up there. Very windy. Lots of, like, tents flapping. Ruined tents flapping. And
in the wind, you know, something like that. It's, I think it sounds something like that. And then lots of, you know, all ripped up bits of clothing and rubbish and, you know, and that.
Dead bodies
in big bright anoraks lying in. You step feet. Over because you want to get to the summit.
You want to summit feet,
you know. And you think people are with you who are not there because you're in the death zone, you see, would, you know. And I've just come back. I've just come in the door from Everest. I'm just in now.
Yeah.
Yeah, mate. But I'm all right now. I've acclimatised again. I'm back.
Well, thank you for being here.
I'm back. I'm back on terra firma now.
And were you wearing the same as what you're wearing
now? I was.
You must have been freezing.
I was. All I had this was
smugglers?
No. Budgie smugglers and a Hartley Pull Away shirt.
Oh.
You know, which is nice in itself. That's good because they're quite unusual, Hartley Pull Away shirts.
They'll be able to see you from a long way off.
Yeah, well, that was the plan. That was the plan, you know, so I could be spotted in the event of some sort of disaster. Mm. Fortunately, there wasn't.
Dive into vinyl heaven at Flashback Records, your go-to destination for rare collectible vinyl, featuring many of those sought-after first pressings and hard-to-find early releases. You can sell us your own vinyl records or your old CDs and DVDs, or you can browse the very latest contemporary vinyl. Explore our online store now at flashback.co.uk. Flashback Records, recycling music since 1997.
So I was in Australia, in Perth. This is going back a few years ago. And some friends of mine who were artists were having an exhibition. Now, I don't know if you've been to Perth, but it's like a quite a big kind of New York-y kind of place with big tower blocks. But behind all the tower blocks, there's the old Perth, the old town with the corrugated roofs and the little bungalows. And my friends had managed to procure some. Their exhibition was in an old bungalow that had become derelict. And anyway, so we went to this. It was at the Perth International Festival. And I went along to the. Well, you have a private view. If you're an artist, they invite all the kind of friends and that to the private view, and you go and have a glass of wine and you're sitting there. So we were in this bungalow chattering away and going, well, the pictures are lovely, I like that picture there, and that was nice, and blah 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 blah. And a very earnest young man came into the room and went, oh, I'm terribly sorry everybody, you've all got to leave, Gordon Honeycomb's on the roof. And I thought he'd said, I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I thought that sounded like you said, Gordon Honeycomb's on the roof. Now, for the younger people listening who don't know who Gordon Honeycomb is, he was a newsreader, wasn't he, on ITN.
Bald
and he
head.
Was bald, that's right, yeah, and he was very tall.
Hair
at the side, and he always used to wear this sort of like white suit or a sort of bone-coloured suit, didn't he, ivory suit, and that was his kind of thing. Yeah. And he was, you know, he was quite fat. And I remember when I was a kid watching the news and Gordon Honeycomb being on there, so he'd been around for a long, long time. This was, I don't know, this was in the 1990s now, and I thought he'd say Gordon Honeycomb was on the roof. So we had to troop outside. And Gordon Honeycomb was on the roof. There was this like six, he was crying. And they'd had to get the police around. He got up onto the roof. Don't ask me why Gordon Honeycomb was on the roof.
You've made that up, actually.
No, I didn't make it up. I swear on my children and grandchildren's life. What had happened was his young boyfriend had left him. Why he was on the roof, and it was like a protest, and I don't know whether he was going to throw himself off. He hadn't picked a good roof because it was a bungalow, but he wouldn't come down there to get the police there and a ladder and take him off. Gordon Honeycomb, I just remember the man saying it to me. Sorry, everyone, you've got to leave. Gordon Honeycomb's on the roof.
Oh, that old chestnut.
You don't get stranger than that.
Yeah, I'm in the studio on my own now. Woody's gone out to water the horses, as they say. So I'm in the studio and, Cole, what do you fancy talking about, ladies and gentlemen? Existence, yeah? What is it? Who knows what it is? I don't know what it is. We've got names for everything, haven't we? We've got names. Oh, life, my life. Like it's something that you have, you know, my life. Thing is, we are life. It's not something you have, is it? It's interesting all that, though, isn't it, you know? Existence and all that, and what it is. It's a brief flash, isn't it? It is what it is. I tell you what, all I've done in my whole life, I've just made a racket. That's what I've done. I've come into the world and I've made a racket. And then it all goes quiet.
and off you go. And Shaky said it, didn't he? Isn't that one of the most beautiful quotes you could ever imagine? You know, all the world's a stage and each and everyone, a man and woman's a player, is that right? Who struts and frets their hour upon the stage and is heard no more. 'Tis a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. How about that? That sums it all up. You see, what's the point in worrying about stuff? Because we know where it's going to end. But we do. We love a worry, don't we? A good old worry. It's like we're not being responsible unless we worry. Oh, I must have a good worry about that. Oh, it don't help, does it? Stone me, what a life.
Phil, I want to talk to you about
physical
comedy.
Yeah.
Because back, you know, we both have a background in comedy. And when I used to do comedy stuff on the telly, I used to study physical comedians, in particular Norman Wisdom and Stan and Ollie. I was thinking about this the other day. Those kind of physical comedians have gone now. For me, the last one was probably Lee Evans or Rowan Atkinson, maybe, but they didn't do those, what we call in the business, sight gags. Norman Wisdom, whether you like him or dislike him, because he was a bit marmitey, crikey, his physical routines. Yeah. I suppose another one where we are going back was Frank Spencer used to do. Michael Crawford. He put in the hours, didn't he?
No, he did. He did all his own stuff, didn't he?
But where did it go? Because that was funny, wasn't it?
Maybe it's a throwback to the old silent stuff, you know, which obviously that's all you had then. There's no audio, so you had these great physical comedians like Chaplin, the most famous one, I suppose.
I never liked Buster Chaplin. Keaton. I thought he was a bit contrived.
No, he was a bit contrived. No, because I was a Laurel and Hardy man.
Oh,
you see,
me too.
So there was something I always found very poetic about them. Something really beautiful.
Yeah,
the two of them. It was super. It was just beautiful to watch, wasn't it? And the movement of, you know.
Yeah. If you ask me who the best actors, I would say Stan and Ollie, because that's not, you believed in them, didn't you?
No, you did.
Absolutely.
You did.
Even when they were doing stupid things, you believed in it. But oh my God. Oliver Hardy was so good at that. Those looks to camera.
Brilliant. Which I know Martin Freeman knew. I know he did because he was a big fan of Stan and Ollie in The Office. He used it in the character he played in The Office.
Did he?
He used to do that double take and that little look to camera.
Yeah.
And the, well, I'm doing it now. It's radio, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you know, it was genius, wasn't it?
Will it
was,
come back?
What, Laurel and Hardy?
No. Well, it could do an AI Lauren Hardy. Seriously, it could come back. But will that sort of physical comedy routine stuff come back? Maybe it's a cycle. I don't know.
I see what you mean. Maybe, yeah. No, those things are cyclical, aren't they? But don't you think it is a throw? Maybe it's the music halls, all that kind of thing. It goes back to that. And so early TV
was
physical, wasn't it? Early TV, Charlie Drake and
Mr. Pastry, who was a bit creepy, to be honest, but he did a fantastic. I saw him on YouTube the other day. I looked it up and he did a routine.
Oh, I'll have to have a look. And
if you're a listener,
I've seen him for years.
This,
I don't know what he did.
Look it up on YouTube. Mr. Pastry with his tuba is very clever. He gets all tangled up in a tuba, and a lady comes on and tries to help him out, and she gets tangled up in his tuba as well.
Is it very funny?
It's very clever.
Yeah.
I mean, he must have rehearsed it, and he probably did it ad infinitum right the way through his career, but it was a good routine to do.
Didn't Stan Laurel, he did all the business. He wrote all the kind of gags, didn't he? And then Ollie would come in and execute it and do it, and he'd write all the business.
Yeah.
And,
and Norman Wisdom did all his he choreographed all his stuff.
He was funny, you're right. Norman Wisdom, I mean, he was, I say funny, what I mean is he was a bit Marmite.
He was a big hero of mine, and then I worked with him, and I don't want to be rude about him because he's obviously passed away.
He was funny actually when I was very young.
I'm going to say is he didn't quite live up to my expectations.
No. But was he a bit crotchety? He got older, right? This is when he was quite old. What was he, in his 80s or something?
No. He would have been probably in his 70s. But
when you met him, I worked
with him. I worked on the telly with him, yeah.
Doing what?
Oh, God, Saturday morning kids show.
And he came on as a guest.
He came on as a guest. Now, and actually, what happened was he said, "Look, I'm going to do a comedy fall here now."
Yeah.
This is in rehearsals.
Yeah.
And he said to the presenter, whose name I won't mention, "Give me some space to do it." And the bloke was a bit full of himself. The presenter was a little bit full of himself. Yeah, and when we went live, because it was a live television show, he didn't give him any space. But he still did the fall, and he whacked the back of his head on some stairs. And you could hear, it was like a coconut hitting the ground.
Oh no, what Wisdom did.
Yeah, and he's in his 70s. He got up and carried on like a trooper. But afterwards, he must have been seeing stars when he went out. Because imagine doing a fall and the back of your head hitting the sharp...
Was this because he was restricted with space?
Yes, yeah. It was the presenter's fault.
The domino effect of that, the upshot of that, was he banged his head.
Yeah. But he carried on.
Hey, Phil, how are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm not getting any younger, though, as we do this.
And do you know what? I'm all right with it, but my missus has definitely got a problem because she said to me the other day, "Why you all make a funny noise when you sit down?"
she's a Scouser.
Newcastle.
One of them Geordie Scouts.
Yeah.
No. Sorry.
And I said, everybody makes a noise. You know when you sit down and you go, like that, as you get a little bit older, don't you?
It's
but that's not the noise she was talking about. Apparently, I make another noise. After the first noise, there's now a new noise. So I go, followed by, as if somehow I've got away with it. Got away with that sitting down. I don't know what that noise is.
Mate, listen,
I'm
laughing. I'm identifying
me?
With you,
is
man.
Is it me?
That's why I'm laughing.
I'll tell you what, that's that.
I do.
I'm not looking forward to the third noise, because that'll be... That's what's coming.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Freddie Starr.
It's coming.
Oh, it's true.
We should give it 5 minutes, innit?
I'm Charles Gray, and you're listening to the eponymous Phil and Woody Show on Humbug Radio.
I was just wondering, Woody, do you have phrases that only you and your family understand?
Yes, I do. I do.
And tell us about
dog food that. In my family, all dog food is called whiskers.
Is it?
Yeah.
Explain that one then.
The history of it is that when we first got a dog, when I was little, we had a cat at the time called Sooty, and we lived in a pub. And my dad used to go out and buy all the food at the Cash and Carry, and he'd bought like a job lot of cat's food, whiskers. So the dog, when it arrived, had to eat cat food. And the name stuck, Whiskers. So we always called
it. I knew it was going to get good.
And people,
I was with it.
People,
it's going to be funny down the line.
People come round to our house and go, "What's he talking about, Whiskers? Do you want your whiskers?"
Was it a thing?
The thing is,
people comment on that.
If you've got a dog at home and listening to this, talk to your dog when it's dinner time. Say, "Do you want some whiskers?" And the dogs seem to understand that word, whiskers. It's sort of kind of in a dog's head. That's, I'm guessing, that sounds a bit like food or something. I don't know, but we always call the dog food whiskers.
Now, hang on, it's a great story. Now, I want to see if I've got this right, if I perceive this correctly. Your dad went to the Cash and Carry.
Yeah.
And bought Whiskers cat food.
Yeah, before the dog had arrived. Before
the dog had arrived, but he knew the dog was coming.
He didn't know, because he just bought so much of it. He probably bought a pallet of Whiskers.
So once the dog arrived,
yeah,
you already had a big store of Whiskers.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And so he didn't want to buy dog food. He thought, "I'll just feed him the cat food."
Yeah.
Is that your dad's logic?
Now, 60 years later, the dog is still eating what's called Whiskers. It isn't actually cat food that we feed it. It's just called Whiskers.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want your Whiskers?
Oh, no. Of course, it's funny how
Phil,
these things stick, isn't
Phil,
it?
Do you want your Whiskers?
Yeah, yeah. You see, now, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
There you go. Why? Anyway, why are you asking? What do you say at your house, then?
At my house? What do I say? What do I say at
what's
my
the
house?
Phrase? You said to me, do you have a funny phrase
I'm
only
home.
Your family use? And then you
I'm
didn't tell me
think,
what yours
actually, mate.
Why did you come up with that question, then?
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, because it was my question and you nicked my question off the script.
Well, now you've just deconstructed the whole thing, which I like. You can see it all working. Thank you, mate. Oh, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. You've been listening to the eponymous Phil and Woody show. Good on you for sticking with it. Because I think it's worth it. What a show. Oh. I don't know what you can say about that. The stuff happened in there that was like, I've never seen anything quite like it.
We've run out of time.
Heard anything quite like it. We have. That's what I was coming to. We've run out of time. You've got to go. I've got to go. Do you think we'll come back and do it again?
No, I think we'll probably be cancelled after this.
Oh, you will be, you bugger.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to the eponymous Phil and Woody show on Humbug Radio. It was a Bleach production.